everybody, definitely enjoy the day, especially all the vets, the veterans and everything. If you have some in the room. Okay, which, guys, this morning we're going to talk about eternal perspective on this day. And after that, we'll have some great fellowship and some great food, which is going to be great. You can turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians, and while you're doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit. Talk about eternal perspective. Living today with forever in view. It's heard by the man who found the mountain. Years ago, an older gentleman named Thomas bought a small cabin near the base of a mountain range. Every morning, he would sit on his porch and stare at the fog that covered the mountains. He told his neighbors, "I wish I could see what's behind that fog. I know there's something beautiful there." One day, his grandson visited. The boy said, "Grandpa, why don't we climb the mountain and see what's really there?" So they did. It took hours. The climb was steep. Thomas was tired. Several times he said, "Let's turn back." But the boy kept saying, "Just a little higher." Finally, they reached the top. The fog broke open like a curtain, and Thomas saw a breathtaking valley, rivers, forests, sunlight dancing on the water. It was more beautiful than he ever imagined. With tears in his eyes, he whispered, "All these years, I lived at the bottom when the real beauty was above the fog." That's eternal perspective. Most people live at the bottom of the mountain. Most of us live at the bottom of the mountain, staring at the fog of circumstances. But God invites us to climb higher to see what is beyond the fog. You know, we're going to be up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and a little bit about the church in Corinth. Particularly, they dealt with a lot of things, they dealt with hardship. But the church in particular had become immoral and divisive, and was dealing with false teaching. There's a lot going on there. So, in light of this, Paul sends Timothy, of course, to investigate and to see what's going on, and he gets a report back, and of course, it's troubling to Paul, and so Paul sends Titus with a letter to help them come out of the fog that they were in. A lot of things that they were in that even the pagans found like, whoa, but wait a minute, that's a little heavy there. But picking up the 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writes, he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You know, and today in our life, we have our own fog that we are dealing with. Mm-hmm. We deal with it day to day. And how we deal with that fog determines our outcome. Point one, eternal perspective changes how we see life. In the scripture, Paul says we have to fix our eyes. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Mm-hmm. But to ask yourself, what is our eyes fixed on these days? What has our attention? You know, we need to live today with forever in mind. We need to let eternity shape our priority, our responses, our generosity, our relationship, and our hope. This world, we need to realize, is not our home. It is our assignment. I don't know if we ever think about it, right? But it is our assignment. And every choice we make echoes into that life beyond the fog. When eternity shapes our view, we stop defining ourselves by age, accomplishments, failures, possessions, or the opinions of others. Instead, we see ourselves as God sees us, chosen, renewed, and destined for glory. You know, Paul wanted to encourage the church at Corinth. And so Paul says, our trouble, they are light and momentary. Not because they feel light, not because they feel small, but because they are being compared to eternity. Eternal perspective pushes through the fall to eternal glory. How will you view life going forward? Let's turn over to Colossians 2. So we understand the Corinth church was dealing with a lot of things, immorality, divisiveness, false teacher, hardship over there. But we're going to talk about the church in Colossus. Read something here, tell you another story about a man who bought fake treasure. A man in a small town once bought what he believed was an ancient gold coin from a traveling merchant. The merchant told him, "The coin is priceless. It will change your life." The man was thrilled. He showed it to everyone. He protected it. He even insured it. Years later, a historian visited the town. The man proudly showed him the coin. The historian examined it, paused, and said gently, "Sir, this is not gold. It is brass. It's hollow. It's worthless." That man was devastated. He had built his confidence, his identity, and security on something that looked valuable, but had no real substance. You know, this is what Paul is going to warn us about over here, 2 Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." You see, the world, it offers gold every day. But that gold is actually really brass. It shines, but it cannot save. It glitters, but it cannot last. It promises life, but it delivers emptiness. So a little background about the church in Colossus. Now they were dealing with false teachers also. False teachers who promoted this secret knowledge that was supposed to be above scripture. They were dealing with Jewish legalism and the worship of angels. Two different churches, sister churches, dealing with two different things. All these human ideology coming at them. I can imagine this challenging. We deal with stuff like that every day. Point two, eternal perspective is greater than hollow philosophy. Paul says philosophy is hollow. Why? Because it's empty on the inside. It's deceptive. Why? Because looks wise but misleads. The philosophy is human traditions. It's rooted in culture, not in Christ. And that false philosophy is the elemental forces. It's driven by worldly thinking. You know, the scripture in the Bible says we need to test every spirit. We need to test every thought by asking the question, does this idea lead me toward Christ or away from Him? If it leads toward, it's going to involve some humility, some obedience, some holiness, some trust in Scripture. Those things are eternal. But if it leads me away from Him, it's going to lead me to self-exaltation. It's going to lead me to self-reliance. It's going to lead me to fear, compromise, cultural conformity. All that is hollow philosophy. You know, eternal perspective begins with filtering the mind. We have to filter what goes in and what should not come in. When we live without eternity in our view, we become vulnerable to anything that sounds good in the moment. And a lot of us, we can attest to that. There are times in our life we got involved with some things that were just not what it was or what it seemed to be. Turn me to 2 Timothy. Get close to wrapping up here. Let's talk about a runner who saw the finish line. There was an older marathon runner named Samuel who had run races his whole life. But now at 72, he signed up for one last marathon. Not to win, but to finish. Halfway through the race, his legs began to ache. His breathing grew heavy. Younger runners passed him easily. Some spectators even whisper, "Why is he still doing this? He's too old. He should quit." At mile 20, Samuel felt a sharp pain shoot through his knee. He slowed to a walk. A race volunteer approached him and said, "Sir, there's a shuttle that can take you to the finish line. You don't have to keep going." Samuel smiled gently and said, "I didn't come here to be carried. I came here to finish." He kept walking. At mile 24, the sun began to set. The crowd had thinned. The road was quiet. Every step hurt. Every breath was a battle. But then, as he turned the final corner, he saw something that changed everything. The finish line. It wasn't close, but it was visible. And suddenly, something rose up inside of him. His walk became a jog. His jog became a run. People who had already finished the race saw him coming and began to cheer. Others came out of the stand and ran beside him. Tears streamed down his face as he crossed the line. He lifted his hand and whispered, "I made it. I finished my race." A reporter asked him afterwards, "What kept you going when you were hurting, when you were alone, when you wanted to quit?" Samuel said, "I kept my eyes on the finish line." You see, when you can see the end, you can find strength you didn't know you had. Paul is sending a letter to Timothy, and Paul is writing this letter in chains from a cold cell. Paul is abandoned by all his close friends, and they abandon him because they feel they're being in prison themselves, persecuted, and they fear they're being put to death. You can imagine all that work that Paul put into people, and now he's all alone. It'll make you want to quit too, wouldn't it? But that wasn't Paul's view. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, he says, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but to all who crave his appearing. What a powerful scripture. What an encouraging thing to write to Timothy, but also to all of us. You can look at it and say, hey, well, he's writing this to Timothy only. But if you look at the last part, he says, and not only him, but to all who crave his appearing. We are being encouraged to not only make it to the finish line, but to cross it. Let's talk about the final point. Eternal perspective helps us finish well. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul sets the example of what it means to endure. You got to understand Paul's situation. In Paul's lifetime, he has endured beatings, prison, betrayal, loneliness, hardship, and disappointment. How does one do that? How does Paul do that? Going through all that, how do you keep going? How do you keep craving the striving for the finish line? Well, he saw the crown of righteousness waiting for him. He saw the righteous judge waiting for him. He understood the joy set before him, and he knew there was a Savior waiting at the finish line for him. Paul didn't finish because life was easy. He finished because eternity was real. And I think it's encouraging because, you know, we all want life to be easy, but when you look at the saints and those who came before us, man, life was not easy for them at all. But they set the example of, you know what? There's something greater than this life at the end. And that is eternity. You see, we don't finish well by having an easy life. When life is too easy, man, we take it for granted. We finish well by keeping our eyes on the finish line. You know, think about it. When our body aches, I think we learn about that as we get older. When our heart breaks, people have broken our hearts, man. We just, ooh, that thing's painful. You don't want to experience that again. When our strength fades, yeah, I'm not as young as I used to be. And my body reminds me of that every day. When our circle of friends shrinks, what happened to the friends when I was younger and all the people that I knew? And when my burdens grow, it seems like I get more problems as I get older and I'm trying to find peace. But we just have to remember, there's a crown waiting. There is a Savior who's watching. And he's cheering. And he's wanting us to remember that there's a finish line ahead of our journey. And he's standing there waiting for us. You know, when you see that finish line, even faintly, somewhere, somehow, you find strength you didn't know you had. Our perspective should be eternal. It shouldn't be worldly. We should be looking beyond the fog every day, the fog of our circumstances. We shouldn't be bound into the world's brass because it is not gold. Only God offers that. And we should run this race with the focus of, I want to make it to the finish line. Because there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. You know, this life has many, many challenges that we deal with. But none of them are bigger than Christ. We've gone through a lot of things, and we will hopefully not go through too many, many, many more things, I should say. But we have to realize that God is bigger than all of them. Here's a couple of things I want to remind you of, and just encourage you guys. These things that kind of got you all kind of wrapped up in and got you not thinking straight sometimes, and the world makes you think like it's everything. Things to remember. What am I investing in? What am I investing in? My mind, emotion, my thoughts in it. Would it even matter 10,000 years later? Is it going to matter? My assignment will be done, and I'll be the Buddha. And then somebody else will come in, and it'll be their time, and it'll be their time to do their assignment. What is God calling me to shift my focus? To understand that, you ask yourself, what am I focused on now, and what is God calling me to focus on? Am I focused on this temporary view, what God wants me to focus on, the eternal view? I need to learn to shift my focus. And what fog in my life do I need to rise above? There's something. There's a fog that we're dealing with. And we need to rise above that fog. We have to realize eternal perspective is not ignoring life that we're living. It's interpreting life through forever. You know, the church in Corinth had its challenges. The church in Colossians has its challenges. And even Paul himself, you know, that cold prison cell by himself. All the disciples are not there, and it's just him. Still, he had this conviction to write an encouraging and powerful letter, not only to Timothy, but to all of us. He wanted us to stay focused on the ultimate goal, and that is the cross, the finish line. Do not allow this world to steal your joy. Do not allow this world to steal your thoughts. Do not allow this world to steal your heart. Be like Paul. No matter what circumstance I am in, I'm going to focus on eternity. Because that is where my true prize is at. Let's pray for the new.